Yeah, we're breaking some protocols today, and we're alive. He's alive. We're alive to tell his story. Hey, amazing, amazing time of worship this morning. Can we just say thanks to the guys again up here leading us? So good. We're alive to tell the story, our story, his story. To tell a story is to find perspective. To tell it accurately is to do your research and to check your sources and check your sources again. Some of us need to do that before we post a story on Facebook. I'm just telling you that. Someday, someone, though, is going to tell my story. And someday, somebody's going to tell your story. I want whoever does that to tell it accurately, to know my intentions, to know my character. And really, our best hope is that someone will tell our story, that will step back and have perspective and give us all a fair shot at redemption. Because sometimes things don't turn out the way we want them to turn out. Pain happens. Life throws us a curve. We have more questions than we have answers. We didn't get the healing. We didn't get the healing that we prayed for. What's wrong with me? Deep, deep connected love seems to bypass me. She hurt me bad. And I'll never be good enough. And I'm weak. These are things we think. We think my life is broke. I'm busted up. And so we start believing lies, don't we? Fear sets in and we start building walls. We grab a stone and then we grab another one and we place it carefully just in the right spot, one on top of the other. We mix up some mortar. We get that in between those stones to make sure that it's secure. Secure. It's sealed and it's good and tight until there's no way anyone or anything is going to get in. Satan, who, by the way, is our very real adversary, just asked Jesus. He is the agent of fear and will make sure that your walls and my walls stay intact. It'll stay there as long as we refuse the healing, as long as we keep saying, I'm afraid and I can't, I won't. It's impossible. There's no way. Our identity, you guys, becomes all wrapped up in what isn't instead of what is. We believe the created more than the creator. We keep placing stones until finally, if we remove ourselves far enough, if we get some distance, if we get perspective, we'll see what everyone else already sees. And that is, we see a large, solid stone wall. A wall that's become an impossible barrier. A fortress, actually. The stones have become rocks, and the rocks have turned into boulders, and boulders have turned into walls. What will your story be? What will your story be? Who's going to tell it? You know, sometimes I feel sorry for the religious people of the day in which Jesus was alive. They couldn't have known that their story would be told over and over and over. They couldn't know that we looked at them with disgust and derision. They couldn't have known all of this. They didn't know. They didn't know the walls of power had blinded them. They didn't know the walls of tradition had bound them, and they couldn't see beyond their current circumstances. And so it only made sense that the next day, on the Sabbath, on Saturday, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, sir, we remember that deceiver, that liar, once said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise up from the dead. And so, Pilate, give us permission to go seal that tomb. So I said, go ahead. Go seal it up. Do the best you can. And we'll send some guards to stand over that grave and make sure Jesus doesn't rise up. Walls will defend and walls will protect. But some walls were meant for breaking. Some walls were meant for busting them up. Walls that imprison, walls that restrict, Walls that keep us from the freedom we were made for. Those can, those must come down. The priests and Pharisees, they sealed the tomb. The centurion stood their guard because there ain't no way he's coming out of there. They didn't know, though, that before creation, Jesus was. They didn't know that he was the creator of all things in heaven and on earth. Everything visible and invisible, all authority had been given to him. Literally everything in all of creation was made through him and for him. They didn't know that he had power over the very boulder that was placed at the tomb. They didn't know that he held the power over sin, death, and the grave. And they didn't know that nothing would keep him in the ground. They didn't know that Jesus would bust out of that prison and restore all things. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead." Jesus was in the tomb where our sin, all our mistakes, all our burdens, everything that is misaligned in us, the entirety of it. Nothing is excluded. It's all heaped on Jesus. But still, it could not keep him down. Maybe, you guys, maybe Jesus wanted to make sure that we would know that he is skilled at bringing dead people, dead things back to life. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and lives in I. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. That was the word from the two men in the tomb. He said that the Son of Man must be betrayed with the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to these men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter, we love Peter, he jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. And stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Can you feel Peter right now? So when Peter arrives at the tomb, he didn't just stay outside and peek in. No, Peter was all in. Like, everything he ever did was both feet in. If there's any hope at all for Peter, he's got to see it for himself. And hope replaces his despair. He hasn't seen Jesus, but he's definitely not in the tomb. What if it's true? What if it's true? Could it be? And he leaves amazed at what he has seen and experienced. We can feel Peter, can't we? Like, his world is spinning. His mind is blown. He's just denied his relationship with Jesus. And yet, the bitterness, the hatred, the pain, the sorrow, every emotion that he has felt, the sin that has led him to misery, with this news, maybe, On this resurrection morning, there is still hope. Maybe there is still hope. Maybe it doesn't make him, all of these things that he's experienced, maybe it doesn't make him any less a son of the Father. Maybe there is still room at the table for him. See, the desperation of Saturday has turned to hope in a moment, because the truth is, if Peter can turn toward hope, we can turn too. If this is true, then all things are possible. Because if sin was all powerful, we'd all be in a world of hurt. We would be tossed in and out of the Father's house multiple times every day. Each time we're distracted by the concerns of this world. every time we give in to anger, when we're filled with anxiety, when our trust is minimized, we'd be right back in the grave, right back in the tomb, right back behind our walls. We'd be like a yo-yo, a crazy yo-yo, up one moment, down the next, in and out of the kingdom of God. But our security is not in our own efforts. Our security is in the promise that as children of our loving Heavenly Father, we are no longer under condemnation. We're no longer under judgment, but instead we are alive as never before. Even though our enemy, the devil, who, by the way, with Christ's defeat of death in the grave, has been put on notice that his day of reckoning is just ahead, even though he would keep us in the tomb behind our walls, that is not our destiny, because we choose the way of Jesus. We choose the way of resurrection. We have new life as no longer are we dead, but we, you guys, we're empowered by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He is alive, which means we are alive. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. God sent Jesus, and Jesus laid down his life. No one took it from him. He gave it up, not to judge the world, but that the world, which means all of us, would be saved through him. So this morning, I can feel it. I think it's time that we step out of our graves. We step out of the tomb. We break down the walls that we built. I know it feels safe back there. But if this is just the natural world where our vision is distorted, behind the wall, we don't see clearly. And your identity as the accepted, loved child of God is maligned by the offenses that you carry, by all that seems to threaten you, by fear and loss. So let's step out of that and put on the new self that says, Christ is risen and I am risen with him. Because the journey of life, you guys, it is filled with all kinds of problems. It's filled with all kinds of pitfalls. We suffer, we break, we heal, we get back up again. We get stronger and the process continues. So don't shortchange the process, because the process always precedes position. God has created you in his image to be more than just average. He's destined you for position, and process always precedes position. So don't waste the process. Get ready. Get ready, because I believe he's about to move all of us out of ordinary to extraordinary. I don't believe that we're to settle in where we are today. So don't dismiss the process. Keep your eyes wide open. Learn, grow, and be faithful in the process. See, following Jesus, we want to make it out to be this thing that we do, and then we sit back in our chairs and we relax, when in fact, we can relax about our eternal destination. But relaxing is not quite what Jesus had in mind when it came to our journey with him. Jesus is not the easy way. Following the Jesus way is the more difficult way. It's the hard way. But it is the way of restoration, and it is the way of grace. It's the way of love. It is telling a better story. See, when we choose his virtues and his values, I mean, his virtues and values are that we feed the hungry, that we heal the sick, that we give sight to the blind. He takes the adulteress, and he releases their guilt and their shame. He releases all of it. See, there is no better way than the way of Jesus. There is no better way than the way of Jesus. The one, he's in the restoration business, you guys. He's looking around every corner and in every out-of-the-way place. He's dumpster diving and jailbreaking for all of us that need rescuing. He's gonna shine us up. He's polished us. He's gonna give us a clean slate. This is the work of our Redeemer, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who rolled away the stone and busted out of that cold, dark grave. He is here to bring rescue and redemption to us today, you guys. Easter says of Jesus, he meant it. He meant to lay down his life for you and I. And as surely as he's taking it up again, he knows you and he loves you, and he knows and loves and empowers us. That's what I discovered. That's what I discovered when I was rescued. When Jesus found me in the dumpster of life. I'll tell you, the relief at being found. We are found, you know. The relief at being found so that we would never be lost again was nothing short of this overwhelming flood of love and joy and peace, this deep abiding peace, this deep abiding peace that has followed me every day since then, even through the most difficult, the most hard times of my life. That deep abiding peace has sustained me. See, it's a hard-fought peace that's won through Christ's resurrection from the dead. This resurrection life, it's not just for the Son of God, but his resurrection from the dead translates to our freedom. Freedom, you guys, from this old dead life of sin. And in his resurrection, he restores love to its rightful place. Love is, after all, the filter through which he restores everything. Love is how he sets the world right again. Love is the instrument of healing. Love is the instrument of peace that brings about heart change. Don't you know that God changes the world one heart at a time? We often talk about the need for revival in everyone else. The truth is, God changes one heart at a time. He brings revival to one person at a time. It may happen all at once with a whole bunch of people, but unless we're willing to be revived ourselves first, that ball just won't start rolling. It has to start with you and I. Heart change happens to each of us individually. But imagine now that if our hearts were all healed, can you imagine that? If our hearts were all healed and we would live out of a place of love instead of hate, if our words would extend forgiveness and reject bitterness, if we would heal instead of harm, it is possible. It is possible, you know, because at the very moment that death seemed to surely be winning, the earth shook and the boulder, it moved. And look, you can see there's a crack here in the mortar here. And then there it is again. One by one, the stones that built the wall are breaking apart. Today, we can break down walls. We can roll the stone away for every no way. We're saying, yes, there is a way to freedom. So let the healing begin, you guys. Let the hard hearts be broken wide open. Let the minds of the captured be released with new understanding and new revelation, because today is the day for new beginnings. This is the classic Easter story. It's filled with resurrection. It's also filled with potential. But it is more than story. It is life and more life. It is the abundant life that has been prepared for us since the beginning of time. This is our story. It's a better story. It is a story of one life at a time being revived and restored. And as one life is revived and restored, a household is revived and restored. And a better story is told over and over and over again until revival spreads out into the streets and into the city. One life, one story at a time. So this Easter, we're breaking some protocols and we're creating a new normal. We're busting down walls and living to tell our story, which is all wrapped up in his. Hope is alive. And you and I, we live to tell that story. This morning, I'd love for you to stand with me. And as we close our time together, I want to suggest that we just, if you've been here before, you know that the word surrender are, it's more than just a word for us. It is something that we live by. And surrendering our lives to Jesus on this Easter Sunday morning, releasing what we've been holding back, releasing what we've been shielded by behind our walls. Being willing to break down walls in order to live the way of Jesus. There's no better way to end our time this morning, I believe, than to recommit ourselves, and for some of us, to realize that new life is available. The old life is gone if we choose to surrender, but it is a choice that we make, and it's a choice that's significant. So as we all together hold out our hands this morning, some of you are, if not physically, you are mentally and emotionally, spiritually holding your fists out instead of your hands out. You're gripping them tight. We've all been there. But I'd encourage you to name the fear this morning. Name the fear that you are holding in your clenched hands. Name the fear. Fear and chaos is not of God. So I call that out right now. Whoever you are, whatever fear you're holding, whatever chaos is going on in your mind, we come against that in the name of Jesus, and we speak freedom over you this morning. So begin to release what you're clutching, and we'll say together, Jesus, I surrender my life. Jesus, I surrender my life. Father, you are good. You've come to restore, to redeem, to place us in positions of influence, to place us in positions where you can be known far and wide. And I pray, God, that as we release ourselves to you this morning, as we surrender what we've been holding on to, what we've been holding behind the walls that we've built, as we break down the walls and as we speak life over this place this morning, God, I pray that lives will be restored, renewed, transformed all around this morning. Release everything that is keeping us from living the way of Jesus. God, we're so grateful for your presence here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The prayer team is going to be in the front during this song, and I'd invite you to come. Be prayed for. If you made a decision this morning to follow Jesus for the very first time, come get it. Have someone pray with you and just let them know that you've made that decision. It'd be the best thing you could do. If you're still hiding behind walls, and if you need help breaking those down, that's what they're here for as well. Come get some prayer.